Well, we're coming to the end of our series on how to make an impact on the world by serving others. We have just one more week after today. And through this series, what we're hoping to do is have you join our team here at St. Hilary Church to accomplish great things together for God. We know that your time is limited and there are many demands on your time. But the promise of Christianity is that we all can actually achieve the life of significance that we desire by working together for God. And so over the last few weeks, we have been talking about all the benefits of serving your church community. One of those benefits that we've talked about is that ministry helps the church to grow. Church growth is important, and it is integrally connected to the number of you who get up out of the pews and start to serve if you haven't already. But we also said that there are a number of personal benefits to you that you can get out of serving, like a greater sense of fulfillment and happiness, a deeper connection with other people in your parish, and a better relationship, friendship with Jesus overall. All good reasons to serve. But if you're like me, kind of getting started is a little difficult. Inertia tends to take over, and something seems to hold us back. And so today we're going to talk about the biggest roadblock that gets in the way of serving in a ministry. It's the same obstacle that prevents us from sometimes from doing the things we know that we should be doing, the good and constructive things. Practically every time I want to do something good for myself or for other people, it is reluctance that gets in the way. Reluctance is the enemy of doing good. For years, I wanted to eat right and get in shape, but I kept dragging my feet. I wanted to establish a regular rhythm of daily prayer, but for a long time I never did. I have overcome my reluctance in those two areas, but my current nemesis is writing thank you notes. I hated them as a kid, and I have a hard time with them now. Every Monday morning, my staff tell me that I need to sit down and write thank you notes to all of you. And every Monday morning, I start with the best of intentions. But then the calls come in and the tidal wave of emails that demand my immediate response, and things kind of go to pot. And I am truly grateful for every financial contribution you make and every personal gift that you send. But actually sitting down, getting out the fountain pen, and I insist on a fountain pen, filling the pen with ink and writing down my appreciation, well, currently that's something I struggle with. But like the other areas in my life, I will overcome that, and I promise, those thank you notes I owe you for all those Christmas gifts, they're going to be in the mail soon. I swear, you see? So if you're having a little reluctance thinking about serving in a ministry here at St. Hilary, I want to help you overcome that, whatever is holding you back, whatever may be holding you back from serving in a ministry. And so today I want to talk about three common areas that kind of result in reluctance, okay? So the first is some people are reluctant sometimes to join a ministry because it can entail a little bit of a loss of freedom and flexibility. Serving other people definitely is a commitment, and there is it can be a little limiting at times. But here's something to think about. Maybe think about one or two times in your life when someone has helped you and you really needed it. Maybe you were the new kid on the block somewhere and weren't sure you were fitting in, and then someone took you under their wing and showed you the ropes. Serving as a greeter at Sunday Mass would be a great way of paying that forward. Or maybe there was a time when you really needed to talk to someone. You needed somebody to listen to you. And some kind soul stepped up and listened with an open heart. Serving in our care and support team or as a small group leader might be a great way of acknowledging that blessing. Or maybe there was a time when your child or your grandchild had a great teacher who made him or her feel special and loved. Well, serving in our Jesus Jam or another one of our kids' ministries would be a great way of repaying the favor. So there's lots of ways to serve, and I think one way to overcome our reluctance in this area is by focusing on how we have been helped by other people in the past. And maybe that will help us overcome the reluctance and grow in our desire to serve. A second area where people sort of stumble, people maybe have second thoughts about starting to serve, is the fact that we do have our own plans, don't we? Most of us have hopes and dreams in our lives, plans for our lives. And sometimes it may seem like what God has in mind for us, it doesn't exactly mesh or align with or fit in with what we want to do with our time, right? A lot of saints had these problems initially, and then they realized that God was speaking to them personally. And I think that's the key. And that's what happened to the apostles today in the gospel reading. After Jesus was raised from the dead, he told his disciples to go back to where it all began in Galilee, and they met him on a mountain there. And look at what the passage says. It says, when they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Now think about that for a second. Does that really make sense? That's a strange combination, isn't it? To worship and doubt at exactly the same time. It seems kind of confusing. So what's really going on there? It's not so confusing when you understand what is really happening in that passage. So Jesus is appeared to them in his spiritual body. This was a body that could pass through walls. A little scary. This was a body that radiated with the brilliance and the light and the glory of God. And so when he appeared to them on that mountaintop, there was no question in their minds that this was God. No question at all. They could see that they were in the presence of the divine. And that's why they worshiped. What they struggled with was believing that this divine presence right in front of them, this God right in front of them, was actually their friend Jesus. The man that they had followed around for 3 years, the man that they had learned from, the man who was composed of flesh and blood just like they were. God, they understood. But the fact that God could be so personal, so close, so intimate with them as in their friend Jesus, that's what they had a hard time understanding, and they grappled with it, and that's why they doubted. But whenever you and I realize that God really comes close to us personally, that God really speaks to us individually, that God really calls us into service, just like he did with the apostles when he said, go and make disciples of all nations. When you hear God's voice like that and realize his presence, it's hard to say no. That's one way of overcoming our reluctance and growing in our desire to serve, is listening more and really hearing God calling you personally, because I promise you, he is. There's another third reason that sometimes people are reluctant to serve. Sometimes people have a hard time diving into service. And this one is probably the most common one of all. The third form of reluctance is that a lot of people feel a lack of confidence. Maybe you don't feel particularly qualified or gifted to serve. Maybe you believe that something in your past life somehow disqualifies you, or you keep thinking that someone else would be better at the job. You know, Moses himself felt that way. and as did a lot of biblical figures. Moses made many excuses to God about not being a gifted speaker or not being a famous celebrity that people would listen to. The feeling that we are somehow not good enough, not qualified enough, or not worthy enough is simply inconsistent with the way God works. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. The first reading today says as much. After Jesus died and was raised from the dead, the Bible says that he presented himself alive to the apostles, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what he did. He appeared to Mary Magdalene first. He revealed himself to the apostles hiding behind locked doors. He showed them his wounds. He gave them the gift of peace. He accompanied two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. But now, on Ascension Sunday, something was about to change. While meeting with them, Jesus told his apostles, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." What was he talking about? Well, Jesus knew that his followers would be reluctant to continue his work without him. And without this promise of the Father, they would be tempted to leave Jerusalem and just go back to their former lives. So he tells them to wait. Wait on the promise of the Father. What is this promise of the Father? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." And that same promise has been given to you and me. You have incredible power to make a difference, to live a life of meaning, to make your life matter. It is the power of the Spirit who lives in you. You may think you're unqualified. You may believe you are somehow unworthy to do God's work. But whatever your lack of confidence is based on, it's not what God sees in you. God sees your unique abilities. God sees the gifts he has given to you, gifts that he has planned from all eternity for you to use in order to do something that only you can do for him. A few weeks ago, I asked someone after this Mass to start serving in our parish. I hope you've been doing the same thing. Her name is Dorothy. And after finding us online, she started coming in person every week. And the thing about Dorothy is that she just has an absolutely irresistible smile, the kind of smile that makes you just want to smile right back. And so I asked her if she would consider becoming a greeter at this Mass. Dorothy is charming, upbeat, positive, optimistic, and as I learned, just a little bit impetuous. Early in her life, she started a chain of hair salons that were very successful, even though she didn't know how to cut hair at all. Later, when she had a whim that she wanted to travel in Brazil for several months, she just sold the chain. And when she came back, she got a job as a vice principal, even though she had never taught school before. And when she retired, she traveled to over 80 countries around the world, Scandinavia, Iceland being her favorite, of course. But about 5 years ago, Dorothy had an accident. She slipped on a rug in her home, fell backwards, hit her head, and has been a quadriplegic ever since. She's confined to a wheelchair, and she lives up the street at Aegis Assisted Living in Corte Madera. But she loves this community so much that every week she comes in a big van that Aegis provides. They take very good care of her. And her caregiver, you've probably seen her here, her caregiver wheels her down to the front right there because she loves this community so much. But when I asked her to serve as a greeter, Dorothy suddenly stopped smiling. She looked away off into the distance across the bay, and for a long time she didn't say anything. And I thought maybe I had offended her somehow. The silence was uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden she turns back to me with that big smile of hers, and she says, "Of course, Father Roger, I would love to." And today was supposed to be, here's a picture of Dorothy, today was supposed to be her first day on the job, but the van driver got sick. So we're hoping she'll be here next week for her first day on the job, and then you can greet her and she can greet you. And I'm so proud of Dorothy. I believe she's watching us right now. So thank you, Dorothy, for saying yes. When I asked her, she said that the reason she hesitated was that she didn't think, being in a wheelchair, that she could be of any service to anyone. But when I asked her, she knew she could. And so can you, because you have the power of the Holy Spirit with you. So today, after Mass, we're going to have our ministry mixer next door in our parish hall, where you'll have the opportunity to explore, and just explore. You don't have to commit, although you can, and nobody's going to give you a hard time about anything. You can explore all the opportunities to serve over some delicious food and drinks. And I pray that you will go over. I pray that you will go there. And if you do, I pray that God will somehow touch your heart, that God will somehow help you to see all the blessings you've received from the help that other people have given you. I pray that you will recognize that God is calling you personally by name into a new life of service that will help you overcome your doubts. I pray that you will realize the power of the Holy Spirit within you and put aside whatever reservations you may have about your own qualifications or worthiness. For over 20 centuries, men and women in every age have traveled to the most remote and dangerous parts of the world to bring the hope of the gospel to every human being. They have befriended the poor, educated children, tended to the sick, cared for slave and outcast, and given the love of Christ, offered the love of Christ to people who are abandoned and rejected. They have walked among lepers. They have entered the vilest of slums. They have reformed the wayward. They have given shelter to the immigrant, the refugee, and the homeless. They have stood alongside the marginalized and those who have been treated unjustly. They have sat at the bedsides of people who are dying, and they have kept vigil for people who have died. They have served in their parishes. They have started ministries. They have conducted Bible studies, all because 2,000 years ago, a man who rose from the dead told his friends and followers to go and make more disciples and promised that he would be with them to the ends of the earth, till the end of time. And that same promise is given to you and to me. And whenever we step into service, even if it's in small but significant ways, we will make a difference together. So come on, everybody. Let's go next door after Mass.